is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood.
Corinthians chapter 15. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So in this corruptible," keep me some music in the background if y'all don't care. "So in this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Can we just give God a shout of praise this morning? Can we just give God a shout of praise this morning? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, Living Light. Let's give Him some praise and honor. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. I'm so thankful that y'all have joined with us on Easter Sunday here at Living Light. You go ahead and remain standing. We're going to be turning to the book of Mark, chapter 16. I hate the devil this morning. All weekend I've had a voice. All weekend I've been able to scream at my children as normal. Scream at Ryan and scream at Andrew. Now everything has been normal. Now I get up this morning, here is this nice raspy voice. So we're going to try our best to make it work. Todd, the disco ball upstairs, is going to make sure I have good volume. Amen. I kept telling myself, Mark chapter 16, we're going to start with verses 1 through verses 8. I told myself when I was on the front row, I said, "Don't sing, don't sing." But that's like telling a fish not to swim. I had to sing. Y'all give me an amen when you get there. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the tomb at the rising of the sun." Boy, a play on words right there. "And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? And when they looked, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, because it was very great. and entered into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garments, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Guess what? He is risen. Amen. He is not here. Behold the place where he was laid. But go on your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee, and you shall see him there. And they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, and they trembled and were amazed, and neither said anything to another man, because they were afraid. Go back to verse number 7. I'm not going to preach on this subject. I want you to look at verse number 7. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. I love that story, the way the man said it right there. You know why that stands out to me? Because Peter failed. And Peter fell short. But heaven remembered and said, I know where he is right now. Let him know that he is risen. Today I want to preach on a fantastic sermon topic entitled Jesus Defeated Death. Heavenly Father, God, I worship you this morning. Lord, I lift your name up. Lord, I'm thankful for Resurrection Sunday. I'm thankful for the ability to come into a sanctuary with brothers and sisters from all walks of life and share the same testimony that Jesus Christ is no longer dead, but he is risen. Heavenly Father, God, I ask that you anoint me to be able to preach your word. Lord, anoint my voice and strengthen my voice right now, Lord, where I'll be able to preach the word of God. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. You may be seated. I do have to say that y'all are a beautiful crowd this morning. Excuse me. Thankful for everyone that is here. A lot of times we always remember small people. A lot of times we always remember those little bitty people and the short men who have that big man syndrome. Anybody listening to me this morning? There was a short man by the name of Napoleon Bonaparte in the 1800s. Anybody ever heard of Napoleon? He stood about yay high. He was an arrogant man, but he was a man who knew what he was doing. And Napoleon had set out to conquer all of Europe. And as time progressed, guess what he was doing? He was winning over Europe. He was beginning to dictate all of Europe. But there was one small island across the channel that's name was England. And they were holding true to who they were, that they would not be owned by any other country. As time progressed, more threats came from Napoleon, and the threat of war was becoming very present, and they found themselves in 1815 to the point where they were going to have to fight a battle. This is what we know as the Battle of Waterloo, where Great Britain had to send its forces under the leadership of the Duke of Wellington, and he came to the front lines. And as they went to the Battle of Waterloo, England sat patiently waiting on their news of who they would be at the next rising of the sun. Would they continue to be England and Great Britain, or will they now be dictated by a man whose name was Napoleon? As the battle finished, word began to spread, and one man had gotten the message of what happened on the war front. So he climbed atop the Winchester Cathedral, and he began to do the visual Morse code for all the ships that were passing by to tell them the fate or the future of their home called England. As he stood up there and he did motions with a flag or motions with a light, no one has been able to say specifically. But he began to do the visual Morse code, and his people began to see each motion that he made spelt a new letter to where they would build a whole word. The first word that came out was Wellington. The second word, the second group of letters was D-E-F-E-A-T-E-D. So people began to see that it said Wellington defeated. And as the man stood upon the chapel or the cathedral, all of a sudden a dense fog rolled in. And all the message was, Wellington defeated. The fog filled the land, and the people only heard one message, and it was the message of defeat, and that there was no hope. But the moment the fog began to lift, the man was still on top of the cathedral, and he was still waving his arms, and he was sending a message because the fog stopped the true message from being transcribed. All of England knew was that Wellington defeated. But as the fog lifted, they saw the man share the story. Wellington defeated the enemy. And in that moment, once the fog was removed and the true message was shared, England realized that they have won against the dictatorship of Napoleon, and they could still be free and not be bound to an enemy. Y'all better let me preach to you this morning. On Friday, we came here and celebrated Good Friday service. I begin to think about how people begin to celebrate him just last week on Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But by Thursday and Friday, they were screaming to crucify him. I was amazed at how this man, this strong man, this godly man, this holiest man had been criminalized and demoralized and mocked for who he was. And somebody would say, who is he? I'm glad that you asked me. Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came to the coast, he asked his disciples and he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah and Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said unto them, who do you say that I am? Oh, my Lord. We got over 370 people in this sanctuary. If I begin to ask everyone, tell me who Jesus is to you, we would be here until next Easter. Because somebody would say, he has been that sure foundation when the world was falling apart around me. If I pass the microphone to the next person, somebody would say, he's been my lawyer when I've been in the courtroom. Somebody could say, he was my doctor when I was in the sick room. Somebody could say, he was the bread of life when I was hungry and about to die. Someone could say that he is the living water because I was thirsty in a barren land, but Jesus provided everything that I need. If I pass the microphone around to somebody else, somebody would say, he is the anchor of my soul, that when the winds of hell blow against me, I can stand strong in my faith. I wish there was somebody who would listen to what I'm saying. If I pass the microphone around a little bit more, somebody would get the microphone and say, I was once lost and undone, but he is the light of the world, and I may stumble and I may fall, but he's that strong outstretched hand that picks me up when everybody else has left me cast down. Who do you say that I am? And Peter looked over and he said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Can we give him a shout of praise that that's who we serve this morning? The strongest, godliest man, the most humble man, carried a cross from Pilate's palace all the way to Mount Golgotha. He carried that cross and he bore the nails in his hands and he bore the nails in his feet. Instead of a crown of gold and of jewels, he wore a crown of thorns. Instead of a garment made for a king, he stood there exposed to the whole world in just undergarments. Y'all better hear what I'm about to say. A man who should have had everything together was a man who was most broken. But yet he said, Father, don't put this on them, for they know not what they do. As Brother Ray said, when he stood, was up there suspended between two thieves. One looked and said, if you're the Son of God, get yourself off. And the other one said, hush yourself. Don't you know who you're talking to? Lord, please remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that's when Jesus said, let it be known, this day you shall come into paradise with me. When he looked up and he said, Father, I commend my spirit to you. And he said those three words, it is finished. And Good Friday came to an end. Are y'all listening to me this morning? In that moment, there was a message that was shared. Jesus defeated. Dot, dot, dot. My God. Jesus defeated because the fog of death rolled in over that man from Galilee. Can I just tell you this right here? The Jesus problem was over to the enemy. He was dead in a tomb. Passover festivities continued and the Sabbath could be observed. But that was day one. We were here Friday night and the Holy Ghost moved over us when I said that this is day one. But brothers and sisters, we have a promise of day number three. Anybody in the house know what I'm about to tell you about? Mark chapter 9, verse 31, for he taught his disciples and said, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. After he is killed, guess what? He will rise on the third day. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because Jesus was telling them the thing that nobody can understand is God, and nobody can fully understand the concept of death. But Jesus was saying, watch me take death in my possession. Y'all better help me preach right there. Let me take death in my possession and watch what I can do with the thing that you don't understand. Day one was the day of death and despair. Day two was the day of silence and sadness. But somebody say, thank God. Y'all are acting like we serve a dead Savior. Somebody say, but God. But God gave us the third day. And Matthew chapter 28 happened. And Mark chapter 16 happened. And Luke chapter 24 happened. And John chapter 20 happened. Why? Because on day number three, the first day was full of sadness and full of tears. The second day was full of sorrow and full of silence. But the third day was full of a sound of the stone being rolled away from the tomb. Why? Because Jesus said, watch me take death by the hand. Watch me take death and watch me defeat it. Somebody give God a shout of praise this morning. Now, I'm having to watch myself, because if you're Living Light people, you know I like to scream in that song. I feel like I'm preaching good. And y'all cheering me on makes me feel like I'm preaching good, but I can't yell at you, Garrett. I can't, because then you'll have to read my notes and you will yell at me. You don't want to do that? God ain't called you to minister to them. Day number three happened. Now, Mary got up that morning, and Mary, the mother of James, and they were sad, Wendy. They were so sad because they knew that day number three was the last day they could ever look at him. They knew day three was the last day they could ever go to that tomb. Day three was the last day they would ever see him again. And they loaded up their spices. They loaded up their ointments. And they said, let's go and dress his body just one more time. Oh, but listen to me, brothers and sisters. While they were walking down that road, there was a spirit that had already walked before them. There was a spirit that had stepped out of heaven and stepped forward. In Romans chapter 8, we read about this right here, that while Jesus was dead on Friday, while Jesus was dead on Saturday, when Jesus was dead on Sunday morning, there was a presence that came down from heaven. Who was that presence, Frankie? It was the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost left the presence of heaven, and it went past the stone that a woman or a man could not roll away with their own virtue. And that spirit went in there on him, and where there was death and decay, the Holy Ghost laid himself over on that dead body of Jesus. And the lungs, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. And the lungs that had not breathed since Friday, the heart that had not beat since Friday, the blood that had not flowed since Friday, all of a sudden when the Holy Ghost laid himself over on the dead body of Jesus, all of a sudden that brain began to function. All of a sudden those lungs become inflated. All of a sudden that heart began to beat. And all of a sudden the blood began to flow. And in all of a sudden, heaven came down and rolled that stone away. And the message on Friday was Jesus defeated. But the message on Sunday was Jesus defeated death. I wish somebody would give God a shout of praise right there. Woo. Woo. I am so mad that I can't preach the way I want to right now. Maybe it's for a reason. What's the purpose of the resurrection? What's the purpose of the empty tomb? The resurrection from the dead was the crowning achievement that will forever separate Jesus from any other religious figure in the world. What do you mean, Brother Tyler? The Apostle Paul is still dead. The Apostle Peter is still dead. Y'all listening to me? All the popes have died. All the dead preachers that have pastored you in the past that have died are still dead. But there is a man whose name is Jesus, who went to the grave. He went into death. He felt the grip of death, but death also found the grip of life itself. So what do we do with the resurrection, Brother Tyler? What do we do with this message of resurrection and an empty tomb? The first thing that the tomb shows us is the announcement of life. You do not go to a cemetery and expect to find life there. But Jesus was risen from the dead. And can I just badmouth just a little bit? Somebody say, go ahead. Muhammad is still dead. Y'all better. Buddha is still dead. Confucius is still dead. I can get a plane ticket and go to every single one of their tombs. But if I go to Jerusalem, I can find where he used to be, but I can't find where he is no more. I can see where he used to be, but I can't see that he's there anymore. Why? Because when they got to the tomb, they said, "Where is my Savior?" And the man said, "He is not dead, but he is risen." Number two, I'm moving fast. Y'all won't like me on Easter from here. I'm going to hit it and go. Number two, you know what was there? The first one was the announcement of life. The second thing that came from the grave or came from the resurrection was the declaration of life. Announcement and declaration aren't those two things. No, an announcement is just where you verbally say it. But a declaration is something that is set. It can't be undone. Leanne, he doesn't have to die again. Tucker was a little boy. We were driving down I-22 and he saw Hunter's Chapel, Holy Church of Christ. And he said, "Dada." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is that the cross that Jesus died on?" I said, "That's one like he died on, baby." He said, "Why is he not there anymore?" I said, "Because he went up there one time and he got down." And my little boy looked at me in that back seat and he said, "Daddy." I said, "What?" He said, "Will he have to go back?" I don't know if y'all like that, the way it ministered to me. But I turned around and I said, "Baby, Jesus don't have to go back to the cross, because one time was enough. One time was enough. One time was enough." What's the declaration, Brother Tyler? The angel wanted to affirm something when he said, he didn't just announce it. He also proved it. What did he do? He said, "See where they laid him." Y'all listening to me? See where he was. See where he was on Friday. See where he was on Saturday. See where he was just a little bit ago. But like Ray said, just a little bit ago, he got up and he folded up his blanket and he said, "See you later, death, because now I own you." What does that mean right there? What does that mean for me? What does the declaration of life mean? Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you can have life and have life more abundantly." Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness. I got to get off my notes for just a second. You know what that tells me right there, balcony? You know what that tells me? You sitting down here with me? Are you on the stage? Yeah, I'm going to face the devil. I'm going to face destruction. I'm going to face the thief. I'm going to face him trying to kill me. But what belongs to God does not belong to him. And when the devil comes in like a flood, what does the Bible say? He will lift up a standard against him. So what are you trying to tell me, Brother Tyler? God said, Jesus said, that I have come that you might have life and might have life more abundantly. I have to talk this one out. I want to holler it. But what does that mean for me? It means when the devil tells me I'm not enough, Jesus said, "You have my life." When the devil tells me I'm not good for nothing, the Lord tells me, "You have my life." I wish somebody would listen to what I'm saying. The devil wants to remind you of what happened yesterday. He wants to dictate you by what happened yesterday. Let him go ahead and remember, because I have the life that comes from Jesus Christ. Someone give him a shout of praise. And then the third one, he gives me the authority of life. What does it mean? He gives me the authority of life. He said, "Look at where they laid him. This is where he used to be, but now he's no longer here. Go and tell them that he is risen." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us." I was thinking the other day in preparation for Easter about Mandy's stepbrother, Hunter. Hunter was a young man who passed away in 2017 from a car accident in Fayette County. Hunter had gotten up and left and went on one of his famous hiatuses, but his mama didn't know that he was in a car 2 miles down the road because he veered off and died in an automobile accident. The whole family was so torn up. The whole family was so saddened. But we went to the funeral home and they played a video, or they played an audio clip, where Hunter had went to church on a Tuesday night. And while he was there, all of a sudden he felt the presence of God and he couldn't let go of that feeling. He got up and he went down to the altar and he gave his life to Jesus on a Tuesday night. He stood up at that revival service and they recorded him saying, "I've been away from him too long, but he came to me." Amen. He went on to say that my papa used to say that when Jesus steps in, it's like a cool, calm breeze blows over me. He said, "I have felt that cool, calm breeze tonight because I found Jesus and I've made him my Lord." That was Tuesday night, and Thursday evening, that cool, calm breeze swept through a car and took his spirit home to be forever in heaven. Brother Ty, why would you tell such an awful, sad story like that? The reason why I want to tell you is we are not exempt from death. We have the hope of the rapture, but if the rapture never comes in our lifetime, we will all face death. But Brother Billy, death cannot touch a Christian person. Death cannot touch one who's been saved by the blood of Jesus. Death is just a phase that we go through because Jesus has conquered death. And because of his resurrection, I can go to a place called heaven. I don't have to face the fiery pits of hell. But my name can be written in his Lamb's book of life. And brothers and sisters, I have a treasure in this earthen vessel. It's not the gold of man. It's not the riches of this world. But it's a man whose name is Jesus. He's been my light in the dark place. He's been my bread of life when I'm so hungry and famished. He's been that everlasting rock and that chief cornerstone when everything crumbles around me. He's the living water that refreshes my soul. He's my hope of tomorrow. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all stand over the house. Can we bow our heads and have a time of prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, I've delivered this Easter sermon. Lord, I've preached to the best of my ability. Lord, I've preached the limitations of my voice. But Lord, I still delivered a message. What looked like on day one, Jesus defeated. The message came through on Easter Sunday morning. When Jesus defeated death, the cross is just a memory. The blood is my advocate, and life is my future. Lord, I don't want anyone in here under the sound of my voice to go another day, to go another hour without knowing this Jesus that I serve. Lord, because in your Son, Jesus, is the fullness of life, the hope of tomorrow, the peace of today. He'll be the lily of the valley. He'll be the rose of Sharon. Lord, my body needs healing. He's the balm of Gilead. Heavenly Father, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know your Son as a personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I don't want to go another moment in this service without extending this opportunity of salvation. As the saints pray with me, Lord, we've all been in a place where we didn't know you. None, one of us was born saved. not one of us was born redeemed, but Lord, we were all born into sin. But because of the resurrection, I now have life. So Lord, right now, in your Son's name, as we begin to lead people to Christ, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know your Son, Lord, let this be the day of salvation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would say, Brother Tyler, I don't know Jesus the way I need to know Jesus. If you would say, Brother Tyler, I want to know him. I don't want to leave here without being saved. I don't want to leave here without having my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I offer you the invitation of salvation this morning, that you don't have to leave here without knowing him as your personal Lord and Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you would say, Brother Tyler, I need Jesus. I need to be saved this morning. I need to be redeemed this morning. I need to be forgiven of my sins this morning. Please raise your hand and let us pray with you this morning. Please raise your hand and let us pray with you. And let us extend that hand of salvation, not that we can give, but that Christ Jesus can give. I got hands going up all over this sanctuary right now. I want you to pray this with me. I want the whole church to pray this with me. Lord, here I am, a human full of sin who needs a Savior. I struggle daily. I fall short. But your Son is perfect and your Son is present. So Lord, I repent of my sins. I repent of my shortcomings. I ask that you forgive me. I ask that your blood washes me white. Let me be clean. I accept your Son as my Lord and Savior. Jesus is the ruler of my life, the hope of my tomorrow, and the peace of my today. Lord, I accept you as my Savior right now in Jesus' name. And the saints of God say amen and amen. Let's give him a shout of praise. Before we dismiss, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, smile, because Jesus is alive. Look at your other neighbor and say, day three came and Jesus is alive. Now before we go home, let's give God a shout of praise because Jesus is alive. Come on, little love. Come on, let's give him some praise. It's because he lives on the program. Oh, let's sing Because He Lives before we go home. Can we come on, praise him? Go ahead and get in line. Before we dismiss, let's sing this wonderful hymn, and then we'll be dismissed. Before they sing, visitors, don't wait until next Easter. Come back next Sunday, and let's have a shouting time in heaven. Praise God. Go ahead and sing that song for us.